Welcome to the Hormones in Harmony podcast. I'm your host, Vivian Allred, former chronic illness sufferer turned trusted health practitioner. My passion is helping people to identify and address the root causes of their symptoms through my online business, Viva Natural Health. If you're struggling with confusing or stubborn symptoms that just won't go away despite your best efforts, then you're in the right place. If I can heal from a long list of symptoms and conditions, including cystic acne, hair loss, severe food reactions, and brain fog, then you can heal too. Stay tuned for weekly episodes that share expert guest interviews, Q&A, and solo episodes that are all intended to help you wherever you're at on your healing journey. The information shared on this podcast is intended for educational purposes only, and is not designed to replace the advice of your health practitioner. That said, let's get into today's episode. Hello everyone, welcome to the podcast. Today, I'm pretty sure it's gonna be a two-part of this one because I can just see it going on forever. So we're talking about my fitness journey, which I'm really excited about. Fitness has been such a big part of my life for better and worse. It's contributed to helping me heal, but also triggered a lot of my health issues when I was overdoing it. So it's a tool, it is a stressor at the end of the day. So it depends on where you're at in your healing journey, how much stress you've got going on overall in your life as to how much your body can tolerate. But in the first part, so in today's episode, I'm just going to share with you my fitness journey because it has completely changed and I've kind of come full circle now with it, which I'm really happy about. But there has been times in my health journey where I've had to completely take a step back from fitness, which was pretty difficult, but it was absolutely necessary. My body was just so depleted. So if you're in the same position now, hopefully this gives you inspiration and just shows you that you can get back to a good place, because with fitness, I think everyone knows that it benefits your health, but I don't think they know to the extent that it does. If you could encapsulate the benefits of exercise in a pill, it would be the number one best-selling drug in the world. I definitely want to have someone on the podcast. I have someone in mind, but I am just manifesting that at the moment to have them on the show. But just a little recap on the benefits, if you weren't aware, and the reasons that I want to exercise specifically. Metabolic health is a big one. This is something that I've struggled with in the past, and I think just based genetically and on my makeup, it's something that I want to stay on top of. And there's so many things that affect your metabolic health. And under this umbrella comes your thyroid function, your blood sugar balance, adrenals, stress, all of that. So it's not just whether you're skinny or lean, it's not just something that you're born with. There's many factors that can influence fast or slow metabolism. Like in my practice, I do a lot of mineral balancing. And with the stress that my body's been under, with the infections, with the toxicity, my minerals took a massive hit. And there was a point where I was completely like burned out from minerals, and that coincided to the time that I couldn't exercise, surprisingly. So other reasons, so metabolic health, muscle building. I don't think women especially know how hard it is to build muscle. And a lot of people are put off weight training specifically because they're scared that they're going to get big and bulky. But if you only knew, I'm sure the guys listening or guys in your life who are into the gym, they try so hard and it is quite challenging to put on muscle. So for women especially, it can be even harder because we don't have the levels of growth hormone and testosterone compared to men. Even if you have high testosterone as a woman or high androgens with a condition like PCOS, it's still nowhere near as high as a man's testosterone is going to be. I don't know the exact percentages different, but just trust me, it's going to be very difficult for you to get big and bulky. You're going to have to really dedicate your life to that. There was a time where I felt like I was getting a little bit bigger from strength training. This was when I shouldn't have really been pushing myself that much, but I was still in the mindset that I need to exercise more. But my body was just so inflamed that the extra strength training and me breaking down my muscles to try and grow them back bigger, it was actually just causing fluid retention. And I was unknowingly eating too much at the time. So I was putting on weight, and it was like I was in this bulking phase, which can be part of the process if you're trying to gain muscle. And I was building muscle, but I was also putting on fat, and I also had this layer of inflammation as well, and my body just wasn't recovering at the time. So if you do feel like you are getting a little bit bigger from strength training, just be mindful of things like calories. Not that that's the most important thing. There's so many other factors that go into it, and you don't want to just keep dropping your calories. You want to maybe take a look at what you're actually doing with your workouts or your stress levels or your sleep schedule at that point. But I do understand when people say that, a lot of women get shut down. They're told, no, you definitely won't get bigger, but you actually can, because I've experienced that myself. But it wasn't the strength training that was the problem. It was my overall balance. I was just doing too much. I wasn't leaving proper rest. And I had at that stage still gut imbalances. And I think I was still dealing with mold. And it just wasn't a good combination. So just know that I see you if you're feeling that way. But there might just be a need for a little bit of a break, and then you come back to it in the future. Muscle is so metabolically expensive, and it's very powerful in terms of longevity, protecting your bones and your organs long term as you age, strengthening your bone health as well, because your bone health in your 60s, 70s, 80s is very much determined by your health in your 30s, 40s, 50s. So we want to start as early as possible. And the 20s and 30s are the key time that we want to be building muscle and strengthening our bones, because it does get more difficult as you get older. It's not impossible. So if there's any people listening in their 40s, 50s, or beyond, it's not too late. Now is the perfect time to start. I think everyone could benefit from long-term building muscle and being really mindful to make that part of your routine. And with strength training, it's really about progressive overload. So we don't really want to just be doing body weight stuff. If we can help it, you might want to start there. But long term, it is about stressing your muscles. And by doing that, you ideally want to be lifting something, because that puts pressure on the muscle, it breaks it down, and then the body rebuilds even stronger. For things like insulin sensitivity, that comes under the metabolic category, but I want to give it its own little mention. But with things like blood sugar, insulin balance, this can have a big effect on your weight and your carb tolerance. So if you do enjoy eating carbs, but you're finding that you're a little bit sensitive, maybe your body is just under muscled at the moment. And the more muscle that you have on your frame, that acts as a sponge. So that absorbs more glucose from your bloodstream into the muscles, so that there's less floating around in the bloodstream causing problems. We know now that unregulated blood sugar for long periods of time leads to a whole host of chronic health conditions, even things like Alzheimer's and dementia. They're being described now as type 3 diabetes. So type 1 diabetes is an autoimmune condition. It usually starts when someone's a bit younger and they require insulin injections a lot of the time. Type 2 diabetes is one that's considered a little bit more lifestyle driven. And before that, people get pre-diabetes, and that's just where they're on the cusp and the blood sugar and the insulin is getting higher and higher. But type 3 diabetes is when the brain becomes insulin resistant. And conditions like Alzheimer's and dementia, neurodegenerative conditions are definitely on the rise. I don't care what people say, there's no doubt about it. Big problem. There's other factors involved, but a huge one is the blood sugar dysregulation that's just been going on for so long. And eventually, the brain cells become numb to the effects of insulin and blood sugar. So it's like the brain becomes deprived and starved of energy and nutrients, blood flow, oxygenation sometimes. These plaques can form and develop. And the body just, yeah, isn't functioning how it should be. And your blood sugar can be a key one for that. The more muscle that you have on your frame, the stronger like your brain muscle is. There's a definite connection, correlation between the two. And when we exercise, we produce something called brain-derived neurotrophic factor, BDNF. That's so powerful for keeping our brains really sharp and active long term. I'd say they're the top ones for me. The metabolic health, the blood sugar, obviously weight management, and looking good. Not gonna lie, I wanna be confident in my body. I don't have the same mindset that I used to, where I have to be super shredded and lean and have six-pack abs. That's definitely not what I'm going for, but I do want to look good in my clothes and I want to feel confident in my skin because I've gone through years of really not feeling confident and being super underweight and trying to gain weight and finding it really hard because I wasn't even digesting and absorbing my food. But then the other way, there's been years where I felt so self-conscious. I felt so disconnected from my body. It just didn't feel like me. It was like I was wearing a fat suit because I was 40 pounds overweight. And that just showed me how weight issues aren't just from the foods that you're eating. Because back then, I was overeating on calories. When I look back, that's a definite factor. But I had chronic toxicity, I have chronic infections, I had thyroid issues, I had mineral imbalances, and that just meant that my body was not burning fat at all. And that has like left a scar on my on my past because I just really didn't like that time. I learned so much and I don't regret it at all. But now I know how good it feels to be comfortable in your body, to have a healthy, thriving body, and all of this health at every size movement, I'm not a fan of, honestly. There's a spectrum, so we don't want to try and strive for these ideals that the magazines and social media puts out, but we also can't lie in the fact that your body fat and your weight does influence your health. So the heavier you are, the more fat that you're carrying, the more inflammation you're going to have, the more joint issues, the higher risk of breast cancers and pretty much all diseases. So we can't just say there's health at every size because maybe your body shape does carry a little bit more fat around your hips and your bum, but that doesn't mean that we just keep like ignoring our health. We should be taking care of our body because it's the only home we'll ever have forever. So we want to do the best that we can to stay on top of things. Some things in life are just not like able you're not able to control them. So if we can control as much as possible our food, our exercise routine, it really does make a big difference. And my health is top priority now, having been through chronic health issues. I always put my health first because I know what it's like to not have that. That was a little side tangent, some benefits of exercise fitness, but I might have someone on the show if you'd like that to talk a little bit more about the benefits, maybe a personal trainer or something, but we shall see. But let's get into my fitness journey. And we'll start in teenage years, I'd say throughout school, high school, especially, we'd be required to do PE, personal, what's that? Physical education. And then after school, sometimes I'd do some extracurricular activities and I'd do trampolining. I'd do things like hockey. I've done football, I've done netball, but I wasn't one of those kids who was like super obsessed with sports, but I was pretty active and I'd be out playing all the time and just going out with friends and we'd just walk and walk and walk for miles at the end of the day or walking to and from the bus station. I'd just get a lot of steps and movement in. Even my high school, it was quite big and outdoor, so we'd just be like walking around every few hours trying to get to the other side of the school. I wasn't really struggling with any health issues at that point, if you know my story, no real weight issues. I'd say I was bigger boned than some of my other friends. I have friends who are like very petite, very, very small frames, very skinny. So in comparison to them, I'm 5'11". So I just looked bigger, but I was in proportion. But I remember one year just I was sat on my bed and I looked down and I just noticed that my belly was a little bit bigger than it was. And I had these like bigger belly rolls. And side note, belly rolls are completely normal. Just that's how the skin moves when you lean over. So even the leanest person is going to have some. But mine, I just noticed it was a bit bigger. And I was like, that's interesting. I've never really had that before. That was when I started to think about my weight. I might have been about 14 at that point. But then all was good. Left school and because I left school, I was no longer required to do any exercise. I was just at college then, just for a year, doing health and social care. And I was just feeling, I don't know if I actually was putting on weight. I don't think I weighed myself, but I just felt a little bit more self-conscious because I wasn't really active at all anymore. I wasn't doing any sports or anything. So I joined a gym. So a gym opened. My brother worked there. It was just around the corner from my house at the time. So I think I was 16. It was like the earliest that I could join on my own. So I joined a gym at 16, a few months after leaving school, and I really got into it. So I would go to college. I also got a part-time job at the time, just at a local supermarket. So I was pretty busy. But then every day after college, I would stop off at the gym. And what started as one workout class 3 times a week ended up being 5 or 6 days a week, sometimes back-to-back classes. And this was the typical body pump, HIIT training, ab blaster, all of those like very old school. I think they still run, but hopefully they've modernized a little bit more. But I was feeling good initially, just moving my body, pain a bit more. This is when I started with the food stuff as well. That's, I've shared that on different episodes, but I started to just diet a little bit. And then I started reading Women's Health magazine. And my personality is like, when I'm into something, I'm really into it. So I just became, yeah, quite obsessive with the gym, lost weight, started to get more compliments, started to feel good because I was moving, but then it swung the other way where I was really overdoing it. Wasn't fueling my body how I should be. I was literally eating like bran flakes and skim milk for breakfast, a little chicken, plain chicken salad with iceberg lettuce and chicken breast for lunch. And then, yeah, I don't know, like a 100 calorie snack pack of crackers or a protein bar or something like that, and just undernourished, lost my period, skin started breaking out, hormones started going off for the first time in my life. My period had been completely fine up till then, no signs at all of any hormone imbalances, no period pain, regular every month, absolute textbook. And then because of my own doings, I completely messed all of the hormone side of things up. And that's when I went on the pill, had my whole experience with that, which I've done a podcast episode on the past. I think it was like the benefits that I've noticed after stopping the pill. We can link that in the show notes if you want to check it out. One of the best things that I've ever done, by the way. It was quite a journey, but absolutely one of the best decisions that I've ever made. One of my favorite ways to support detox are castor oil packs. They are an old school naturopathic remedy, which can gently help to open up detox pathways and process toxins like mold and environmental pollutants that many of us are exposed to. Signs of sluggish detox pathways or a high toxic load include headaches, bad breath, puffiness, histamine reactions, skin breakouts, and more. You could always try and make your own castor oil pack like I tried to for some years, but more recently, other amazing practitioners have created really convenient kits that just make the process way easier. They come with a tie-around pack that you can put over your liver, which is under the right rib, or to support more premenstrual issues like pelvic pain, you can tie the pack around your lower abdomen instead, so they're pretty versatile. My top recommendations are the Castor Vita pack on Amrita Nutrition if you're in the UK or Europe, whereas if you're in the US, there's the Queen of Thrones pack by Dr. Marisol. Both of these are linked in my Instagram bio and in this podcast show notes. If you want to learn more about the benefits and the science, I actually interviewed Dr. Marisol, so you can check that out on episode 133 of the Hormones in Harmony podcast. And I really hope you love them as much as I do, but let's get back into the episode. And then I carried on with the over-exercising, and my cycles were more regular now. My period, quote period, which isn't a real period, from the pill. My skin started to eventually clear up when I found the right medication for me. But I continued with the over-exercise. And then when I was 19, I actually worked a summer in America. So I went to, it was called AmeriCamp. It was similar to Camp America. And I worked at a summer camp in Pennsylvania for either 7 or 9 weeks I was out there in total. And that required me to be a yoga or a Pilates and aerobics instructor. I had no experience ever teaching, but they're just looking for like active young people to teach. So that whole summer was me still over-exercising, but in the intense heat. I was trying to eat healthy at the time because I was still in my dieting phase, my clean eating phase, but that was pretty much impossible to do at this camp because it was pizza and pasta and chicken wings and all sorts of things. So I would probably was eating less than usual. And then when I came back from that trip, that's when everything changed. My digestion was terrible because on the trip, I got food poisoning a few times, and I was bitten by some sort of tick insect over there, and I later tested positive for Lyme, which complicated things as well. I found out later that my home, so my childhood home that I'd spent few months away from at summer, had issues with mold. So me having a break and then coming back, I was re-exposed to mold, plus all of these other things, plus I'd been on the pill for a couple of years at that stage, and shit hit the fan and my health took a turn. And that's when my healing journey really began, because I started to notice that food, or I started to read, and I was working with a nutritionist at the time, because I knew after that experience at camp how important food and nutrients and vegetables and vitamins were. My body was craving just any color, any plant foods. It was just so carb heavy, and I felt awful after the trip. So I started to understand more about the phytonutrients and the antioxidants, and much more than just calories, how much protein am I eating? And working with a nutritionist really helped me to understand. But because my health was so bad, I wasn't digesting my food then. I could eat something and it would just go straight through. I wasn't absorbing any nutrients, so I started to deplete in minerals, vitamins. My thyroid was off, my adrenal stress was through the roof, and I lost quite a bit of weight. And that at that point, it wasn't a good thing, because I was already on the border of being underweight, and then this just dropped me too low. And I was just becoming weaker and weaker as my health was taking, like, as my health declined. And I had to slow down with the exercise. I just couldn't do it anymore. So it wasn't a mental switch. I still very much wanted to exercise, but I was forced to slow down. I came off the pill after 2 years of being on it, and I didn't have a period. So then I started looking into hypothalamic amenorrhea and how important it is to signal safety to the body, to nourish the body, to slow down on exercise and just eat a ton of food. And I was confused, because I had been diagnosed with PCOS initially before going on the pill. But then I also thought I might have hypothalamic amenorrhea, because it took 2 years to get my period back after the pill. I still think I had both, honestly. My body was just so weak and depleted to think about ovulating and having a period. But during that time, I think I slowed down to begin with, just after coming back from camp. But as the bloating and the acne came back and my hair started falling out again after coming off the pill, I just didn't want to go out anyway. I just wanted to isolate myself, focus on healing. I think I took the passion that I had for fitness at the time and completely put it towards research, healing, gut health. I started to learn about that. And I really didn't exercise for a long, long time. And then I think at one point I started doing yoga. And I'd go for walks every now and again. I struggled with depression during this time because of how I looked, how I felt, how isolated I was, as I saw my friends going out, working, dating, going to uni, traveling. I was just stuck at home, and I felt so like let down and betrayed by my body, honestly, at that point. So my mum would like take me out. It's like I had a camera. She would take me out and we'd go on walks, and I'd go to yoga once or twice a week, and it was very, very, very basic yin yoga, very slow. It was filled. I was like the only young person in there. It was all old people. And they'd have the room. It wasn't hot yoga, but it should have been, because the room was absolutely scorching hot, because they're all old and they're obviously low thyroid and freezing cold. And I would be so dizzy from the classes, because I also had blood pressure issues. I was underweight and my body was so stressed. My blood pressure was super low. And me trying to do the movements, the sun salutations, the lifting your head up and down. Definitely no headstands or anything like that. But throughout the class, which might have been an hour, I'd probably pass out like five times. And then it just became too much of a stress on my body. I was like, this isn't really benefiting me. And another thing that happened is that I started to get really bad knee pain. I was working in retail at the time, and I'd be on my feet all day long. And I thought I was getting arthritis. It was that painful. My knees just felt so uncomfortable all the time. They were achy. They just felt like I needed to like move around constantly. At the end of the day, they'd be just so sore. And it sometimes made me feel a bit sick how uncomfortable they were. I felt like they were sprained and about to dislocate. They just felt very weak. And I later learned that I have, or maybe had hypermobility, which can go alongside mold exposure and Lyme disease and histamine problems. So that made sense. And this woman, this practitioner who I spoke to, she took one look at me. She's like, yes, you have hypermobility. You need to stop the yoga and you need to start building the muscles up. Strength training is going to be better for you long term. And I kind of loved her because I was like, yes, I don't actually need to do yoga anymore. And I did enjoy it. I liked the mindfulness, the spiritual side of things. There'd be times where I'd just lay on the mat and cry in Shavasana. It felt like I was getting in touch with my spirituality and I knew like the body was holding on to some sort of stress and trauma, but I couldn't really articulate that. I just knew that when I'd open up my hips and when I'd do Shavasana and just like lay on the mat and listen to the music, it would make me cry and it would bring up a lot of an emotion. So that got me into spirituality, but I eventually moved away from yoga. But I think this is when I started to do strength training. This is probably a couple of years in to my health being really bad. So probably at age 23, 24, before I found out about mold, I started trying to strength train again. But this is when I just became a little bit bigger and bulkier and my body was just so inflamed and I wasn't recovering. My skin was breaking out because it was just too stressful. So then I went back to walking and more gentle stuff. And then I found out about mold when I was about 25. I tried to work on healing my gut, but the same issues, the same infections, SIBO, candida, parasites just kept coming back. I then swung the other way. So I got my period back by eating more. And then I regained the weight that I needed to, but plus another 20, 30 pounds. It just wouldn't stop them. My body was just piling on the weight. I swung completely the other way and I couldn't lose the weight then. I felt they were both bad in their own ways, but I was even more uncomfortable in my skin. And then that exacerbated all the hormone side of things. And that's when I found out about mold. So this is like a good 4 or 5 years in. I was about 25 at the time. I was just really struggling with getting improvements, really. I'd studied nutrition at this point. I was in my probably final year, or I might have left at this stage. But it just didn't make sense why I was still so symptomatic. So that's what led me to figuring out what's going on with my histamine symptoms, my chronic inflammation, and found out about mold. Moved out of my home, so became not exposed to mold anymore, about age 25 or 26, moved into my own place. This was in 2020. This is when my health really started to improve. That whole time, I'd been working on my health since I was about 17. So it took about 10, almost 10 years before I really started to see a change. And it was because I finally discovered the issue of mold for me, which just my exposure was too bad and my health was too weak that I did need to get out there. And I was moving anyway, it came at the right time. So I moved out from mold and I thought, oh, I'll just do a little like 2 week mold detox and I'll be good. Haha, funny. Funny to look back on because that was another year, 2 years. I'm about 3 years out now, 4 years actually, which is crazy. It'd be 4 years this summer since I moved. But that is also one of the best things I've ever done. It catapulted my health and allowed all of the things that I've been doing to actually show. And it took a few months to slowly get my brain functioning back because at its worst, it felt like I had dementia. I was really struggling to work and see clients and string a sentence together. My skin was pretty bad again. I just wasn't detoxing. I was on all the supplements and all the best diet in the world. But then a few months in, I'd say about 6 months into moving out of the home, I felt like I could start to get back into exercise again. So I had a few PT sessions with a female PT who used to work at the gym, but she'd opened her own studio. And I did it, yeah, maybe 4 or 5 sessions with her, but she was actually working in a building that was pretty moldy. It was in a basement of an old mill, an old factory, and I could see like mold in there. I really hope she's not listening to this because I think she still works there, but I just wasn't feeling good. Even though it was an hour exposure every week or two, I just really felt unwell, and it was too soon for me to be back in a high mold environment plus exercising on top of it. And it was mainly strength training, but there was one time where I just came home and I had such a big flare up. I felt like I was just so depressed, and I've been doing pretty well with my mood after moving, but I just had this overwhelming like sadness. I could not stop crying. My skin was all red and inflamed, and I just felt like dizzy and headache and horrible. So I was like, that's it with the PT. And then just over the years, so that was like 2021 maybe. So then the past few years, I worked with another PT in about 2022. He was a guy, and I just found it a bit too masculine and rigid and strict. And he was very much focused on results, which is fine. And I was aware of that before I went into it. And I was telling him I want to try and schedule things around my menstrual cycle, maybe 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, because I knew at that point how important it was to some degree, cycle sync with your workout. So not push yourself and try and do the same thing on your period versus during ovulation. Your body requires different things. And because my hormones were still a bit sensitive, I didn't want to stress my body through something that I had control over, which was the type of exercise. I might have worked with him for about 3 to 6, no, I think it was about 3 to 4 months in total, every couple of weeks on average. And I enjoyed it. It was like a CrossFit style workout, but one-to-one. But he was working to improve my PB, my personal best. And at the end of it actually showed that it was worse than when it started. And it was try I did not care. I was like, I don't care about all of this stuff. I just am so proud of myself for showing up to these sessions and actually being able to stand up without fainting, honestly, that I'm not bothered about my personal best. But he was like kind of making me feel bad for it. And I was like, there's so many different variables. Maybe I was in my luteal phase last time, and now I'm in my follicular, or vice versa. Maybe I slept bad. Some people would take that and it would completely knock their confidence and be like, why was all of this? This was all pointless. But I had just been on my health journey for so long that health is still number one. And I am not going to let a number on a scale or a number in terms of a lab test result or personal best determine and tell me like how well I've done or how I've not, because I'm using so many other metrics to do that. How my mental health is, how my bowel movements are every day, how my menstrual cycle and fertility is. So that put me off a little bit, that regimented routine. And I found myself, because we have a session in person and then they give me a plan to follow in my own on the gym. And I was like, this is boring. I'm not excited to do it. And that's a key thing with fitness, is that you need to enjoy it to some degree. And sometimes switching it up can be really helpful. And the cycle syncing is still something that I am really into. So how this looks for me is on my period, like the lead up to my period, maybe 5 days before, during my bleed, I am taking it pretty easy. This also improves as you get healthier too. So if you're absolutely thriving, you could maybe handle the same workouts all month long. But if you are someone who's prone to hormonal imbalances and just wants to support your body, or you're actively struggling with something at the moment, I choose and will continue long term to do this. I choose to dial it back during that time because my hormones are already at the lowest level. My body is more sensitive to stress. I would choose to do currently, still, and have been for the past couple of years, walking. So I walk every day for around at least an hour with a combination of like walking my dog, Norman, and I have a desk treadmill as well, which has been one of the best purchases of the past 5 years. I'm obsessed with it. I'm recommending them to everyone, especially if you work from home. Get yourself a walking pad and a standing desk, because I could be doing emails, writing up client protocols, and getting in thousands of steps extra. And when the weather's bad like it is today, apologies if you can hear the wind outside, it is a blustery gale outside, then there's nothing better than just moving. And it made me think, like, how did I just sit down and work all day previously? Because I just get so restless now and I just need to move and it makes me more productive. So a walking pad is key. I walk every single day. I think it's one of the best exercises, best movements, especially if it's outside, but just do what you can. With outside walking, you get extra benefits like the sunlight, the vitamin D in the summer months, fresh air, nature therapy. If you're lucky enough to be somewhat like around some like woods or something, take advantage of that. If you're near the ocean, even better. Walking is still my number one workout, and it is a workout. I know you're not maybe sweating and out of breath afterwards, and it feels really easy, but this is one universal thing that everyone can benefit from. And we are designed as humans to walk for miles and miles and miles a day. And for women, whatever you're struggling with, there is a level to which you can walk. Even if you're struggling with chronic fatigue, maybe it's just walking up and down stairs once or walking to the end of your street and back. I had really low stamina and really bad exercise intolerance at my worst. And just going for a walk, I would feel dizzy. I would feel really exhausted. It was like my legs were made out of lead and I would just feel so weak. There have been times that my mum had to help me walk upstairs because I've been that depleted and exhausted. So your tolerance increases, but with fitness, it's like a cycle because you actually gain energy from working out, but you need some degree of energy to work out. So just doing the best that you can and building up your tolerance is the best thing. And walking is my number one and always will be. The other thing is still the strength training, but this has also changed with the duration, the frequency that I do, the type of strength training that I do. Before, as I said, with PTs, I found that it's just too rigid following a plan. It's just not for me right now. Maybe in future that'll change. I just like to go in and have some idea what I'm doing. I tend to split it an upper body day, a lower body day, and then maybe like a full body day. So I aim for 3 times a week in my follicular and ovulation phase. And then the luteal phase, which is the longest, the first part of that, I'll still be doing some weights, but as my period approaches, I might not go to the gym as much and I might do Pilates or walking instead. Yeah, so with strength training now, I am really into it at the moment. I actually did some mindset work too through my certifications. I did life coaching and some brain subconscious rewiring work as part of my business. And I used exercise as an example because at the end of last year, or like the start of last year, I can't remember, I was just not feeling as motivated and I'd used my period as an excuse, even if my period was due 2 weeks away. It was getting a bit ridiculous and I was just getting a little bit lazy, honestly. So I did some mindset work and I really looked at limiting beliefs and I looked at what could be going on that's preventing me from working out. And I found that I was a little bit worried deep down that I was going to stress my body too much and lose my period and set myself back in terms of adrenal health and digestion because of what had happened in the past. But I just had to remind myself and talk to my inner self and tell it that I am working out in a completely different way now. So the risk of that happening is extremely low, and I'm never going to let myself get to that point again. And then inner me, my subconscious brain was like, oh, amazing. There's nothing to be afraid of. And I actually did some techniques as well to make my body more excited and motivated to go. And it's just been the case ever since. So for the past 6 months, I've been really in a good groove with my workouts. I love going. Before as well, it would be that I had to go to the gym at 10 a.m. Otherwise, it wasn't happening. So if it was like 10:30, I'd say, oh, it's too late now. Even if I had nothing on, I didn't have any clients scheduled that day, I had no excuses. I would still make an excuse and not go. Whereas now I could happily go at like 7 p.m. in the evening. I prefer not to. I still prefer to go before lunch, after breakfast, but I am not in this like rigid, like excuse-filled state like I was before. So that's really helped. If you're struggling, definitely look at mindset. and we just want to get to the point where we identify as a gym goer or an active fit person. If deep down you just feel really uncomfortable and you would never say that you're a gym goer or that's in your identity, that's probably why you're struggling to go. Now, with strength training, as I said, 3 times a week is minimum, but I could go maximum 5 times a week, depending on where I'm at in my cycle, how busy I am, how much time I've got. I used to think that it had to be an hour or more, the workout. Sometimes now it's 30 minutes, 40 minutes. If you're struggling with adrenal issues, sometimes capping your workouts at 40 minutes is a good idea because that's when cortisol starts to get released from stress. And I have struggled with some like minor in I wouldn't say injuries, but trapped nerves, especially my neck and upper back. So I go to a chiropractor that keeps me on track. I've been doing that for the past couple of years, really helpful. I go for monthly massages now. It's a promise to myself since January to get one, at least one per month. I made this resolution last year, but didn't stick to it. So this year, so far, so good. And I love massages, especially deep tissue massage or Thai massage. Just helps to keep my physical body strong because I think that gets neglected a lot of the time. We focus on the internal stuff, the supplements, the food, stress management, but we have to take care of our posture and our physical body. Massage, Epsom salt baths can help. We have one of those TheraSarge, I think they're called guns, that just help to relieve any trapped muscles. So that's been something that I've added in over the past 6 months too, which has helped. And then last thing that has been a big change for me in the past year has been Pilates. When I was a yoga girl, I, for some reason, hated Pilates. I think I did one or two classes, and either I didn't like the teacher, I can't really remember, or it was just very core heavy. And I felt like a lot of it was up on plank position on my wrists, and I had a lot of joint pains, and my body just felt very weak. So I think I just found it really hard and not enjoyable. So I just didn't do it for years. Anytime people would mention Pilates, I'd dismiss it. I wasn't a fan. And then I just got back into it. I think during lockdown, I was looking at online workouts and I did some free Pilates videos. There's Move with Nicole, which I really love. She's got some good sessions on YouTube. But then at my local gym, I found a really good teacher. Her name's Katie, and she's actually going to be coming to the Manchester event that I'm doing in October. So if you want to work out with my personal Pilates teacher and come for the nutrition talks and just meet up and delicious food and all the good stuff, then I will be talking more about that. Probably in summertime, I'll start to release the tickets and everything. But that's going to be on October the 5th, which is a Saturday. I'm so excited. It's my first little event that I'm doing. I've spoke at other people's stuff before, but just wanted to mention that now. And that has been a game changer. Doing Pilates with her twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursday mornings. I look forward to it every week. I'm like front of the class there every week. I'm like top student and I'm just obsessed, especially when we add the extra equipment, the Pilates balls, the bands, the ankle weights, the little hand weights. It's just the best thing ever. It's lower impact, but it can be a tough workout, but you can go at different levels. And I feel like my body shape has changed quite a lot. I'm not getting that bulky sensation because I'm not doing a lot of cardio. It's not too hard on my adrenals with the dizziness, something that I still can struggle with at times because I'm not like lifting my head up and down constantly. It's helping to build muscles, especially those little muscles that you can't really get from strength training. And if you've seen any videos of the gym guys who do Pilates and the muscles are like shaking and they can hardly do it, that just goes to show how powerful it can be. It's such an amazing workout. I am obsessed. I talk about it all the time on Instagram. I've even considered doing a Pilates certification because I love it that much, but I'm trying to figure out, am I ever going to use that? Probably not. Can I just keep something as a hobby and not have to create a business or something out of everything that I do? But for now, it is a hobby that I love. I've done like free app trials and I've done sessions with Reforma. I try to go to Reforma Pilates once a month, but the studio's a bit far away from me. It's like 20, 30 minute drive, so it's not as easy to get to. The teacher that I love there, she gets booked up very quickly. So if I ever see that she's free, I'll try and jump on one of the group classes. And Reforma Pilates, if you've not seen it, is more, it's like on these beds that have springs, and it's a bit more intense, although they're challenging in their own ways, and I love both equally. I want to manifest a reformer machine for myself to put in my garage at some stage, but they're a little bit pricey, so I will be saving for those in the background. And that is my current workout split. So just to recap, every day I'm walking in some way. I do my 30 to like 45 minute dog walk every day. Sometimes it goes out in the evening as well. And then I have my walking pad. I might walk at the gym sometimes, like an incline walk. It's 4, 12, 30 or 3, 12, 30. So you're on a 12% incline. You're walking like a 4 speed, 4 miles per hour for 30 minutes. And that is going to get you sweating. Trust me. Give that a try. And then 3 to 5 times a week, I'm going to be doing strength training just on my own. I'm not following any plans at the moment, but I have worked with PTs before. And actually, in my one-to-one program upgrade that's going to be happening next month in May, you're going to get access to an extra little online course with so much information in the mindset work, sleep masterclasses, fertility masterclasses, and then even some sessions from my Pilates instructor and then personal trainer. Her name's Penny. She works at the gym that I go to. She's going to be doing a little guide for you, some videos as well. So if you want to learn how to strength train, like proper form and everything, and just have something to do in the gym or at home, if you've got some weights there, then that's going to be extra for you in the one-to-one program. So this is going to be a lifetime access to, I don't know what to call it. We'll call it a program alongside the one-to-one coaching. I may eventually release it as just a course, like a program on its own without the coaching. So stay tuned for that. You'll be able to find everything on my website, vivanaturalhealth.co.uk. So strength training 3 to 5 times a week, and then Pilates. I'd say I do two classes a week in person. I might also do a reformer class once a month on a Saturday. And then when I'm closer to my period, I'll swap the gym sessions for Pilates and I'll do that at home. So if that makes sense, that is my current workout routine. This might change, so if I need to do an update, but I doubt it because I love the trio. I think it's the perfect combination. And I see it even with clients, not just speaking from personal experience, but I've tried it all. I've tried the boot camp classes, the HIIT. I've done the intense sessions, I followed regimented plans, and it's just not really worked for me. And this is at the moment. So I'm very happy, very motivated, and just very excited to see the benefits and the changes. And I already have seen some amazing changes. My sleep's better, my hormones are doing really well, my digestion's good, and I just am grateful to be able to move my body in this way. Exercise for me isn't a chore. I am so grateful that I can actually lift this weight and do this class and be able to get through it, because there's been times that I haven't been able to exercise, like physically haven't been able to. In next week's episode, so this definitely is going to be a part two now. In next week's part two, I'm going to be sharing about how the fitness journey can be very similar to the healing journey. So the parallels, the similarities between the two, because there are several. I've made a list and you might not have thought about that yet, but after going in a little bit deeper, I'm like, there are so many similarities. So I actually, in my fitness journey, use a lot of the lessons and the reminders from going through a chronic illness for 10 years to get me through those workouts. So if you're excited to hear that, subscribe, stay tuned. That'll be out next Monday. And if you want more episodes on fitness, please let me know. This has been a really big part of my life for years now, and I'm not stopping anytime soon. So if you want to learn more, or if you have any guest suggestions, someone who's into this world and can go through the science a little bit more with us, please let me know. You can send me an email, you can send me a DM on Instagram at Viva Natural Health, and I will see you back here next week for another episode. Thanks, guys.
I really hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, I would love for you to leave me a rating and review on your podcast app, as this helps to support the show and it allows it to reach more people with this valuable information. Come and say hi over on Instagram. I'm at Viva Natural Health. And if you haven't already, check out my website, vivanaturalhealth.co.uk, for tons more free resources and to discover how I could support you further. I currently offer one-on-one consultation packages if you want my top-level support, then more affordable group programs and self-paced online courses. So there really is something for everyone. Enjoy the rest of your day, and I'll see you back here next week for another episode.